athleticism and what he's been able to show, and you saw it on film, and you want to, you know, the scouts want to be able to validate that with some of the numbers that they see, whether it's at the pro day or at the combine. You see all that, you add it all up, and you also, the pedigree of coming from Wisconsin helps him too. Nice! Little double tap tip drill.
It was Hunter Waller helping break it up, intended for Braylon Allen. And Hunter's been all over the place here today.
Does it factor?
Ends up being gathered by Skylar Bell at the 50.
Touches also factor into a player's marketability, because he's Tippmann's known like a really good locker room guy, a team leader type. That has to help a little bit too.
It never hurts, but I think when you're talking about being a first, second, or third round pick, it's going to be about that talent and about your film and the all of that other stuff. That's when you get him in the building and you find that value. But you talk to the coaches, you talk to the people that know him, and when you hear those things, that obviously helps get an idea of the whole person, not just the guy that you see on the field.
Well, hand off to Malusi. They blow the play down to the 42 of the white team. A gain of 8 yards for Chez as we continue here with the second half. They are wisely not tackling. Well, I'd say that Braylon Allen's been hit pretty good here, even in the second half a couple of times. Braylon out there, slot to the right. And the snap to Mordecai. A little pressure coming. A throw incomplete. Little low intended for Riley Nowakowski over the middle at the 39-yard line.
I just think we're seeing a quarterback who's pressing.
A little bit.
He's speeding everything up.
Yep, that's the thing. The tempo isn't there for him.
Yeah, and I think that comes from, like you said, pressing. But when you have a couple of things go bad, you just want it so bad that you hold on, and you just got to let it loose, let it rip. And that was a case that was an easy pitch and catch that we just fired a little too hard. Woo!
Oh, look out.
Suspend him.
Tanner Bordellini got just popped right at the snap, and that rocked him back to the turf.
You want to know why those snaps get high? That's why.
Lago was trying to get a timeout call, but I don't think he did.
Well, Bordellini would have wished he would have.
Yeah, you got to think that the head coach here, a former nose guard, like, that's what happens.
Yeah, right? Tough break.
That's right.
He'll have him go up to the wrestling room and settle it there.
Yeah, he has made no secret. A lot of his staff members were wrestlers.
Yeah, you wouldn't pick on Luke Fickell.
Nobody should do that. You're probably going to come in second. Yeah. Ball at the 37-yard line. Back to throw. Mordecai again pressured. Floats it right side. Incomplete. Well over the head of Jack Pugh. Travion Blaylock with the tight coverage.
Believe it or not, Fickell was a guest on the McAfee show before Aaron Rodgers took it hostage.
Oh, is that right?
And A.J. Hawk was saying that Fickell is the toughest human being he's ever been around in his life.
Yeah.
Just a tough dude.
Yeah. He is... Well, you think about those defenses he was a part of back in his college days. A ton of talent. He played for John Cooper at Ohio State. Ball at the 37-yard line. Snap to Mordecai. Quick toss right side of the pitch to Braylon Allen, and he gets forced out of bounds by Travion Blaylock at about the 36-yard line.
You talk about a guy who needs a little maturity to handle everything, football, academics, and family. It's Travion Blaylock. Does he have two kids? I think he has two children now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's really good. He had a chance to chat with a lot of the media in the last week or so. And you mentioned it a while ago. I mean, there's some guys on this team who need some good luck, and he's one of them. This guy can play. Here's a throw to the left side, and it is broken up, incomplete. Chimre Dike, the intended receiver, like Ricardo Hallman, was there to help break it up.
DK's had more drops in this scrimmage than he had all spring.
Yeah, I think Hallman may have had a little bit to do with that, but yeah, that's one that I think Chim would tell you he could get.
I'd like to work in the count a little bit. You get your center blown over on one, and now another quick 5 yards. That's with all this snap, slap in the hands and everything else. You want to make sure you're working that count.
Mm-hmm. So now at the 31-yard line, two receivers either side. Braylon Allen remains in there at running back, and he will move to the left of Mordecai. And they can stick it into the end zone on the possession. Here's the handoff to Allen with a burst inside the 25, and they'll mark the play down inside the 30. They'll place it at the 26-yard line.
So is Allen like 18 now? How old is he?
I think he's a legit 19.
Is he 19?
Yeah, I believe so. I think, or 20. I don't know. He's young. Very mature. Very mature guy. Didn't turn 18 until after his freshman year. I think he's 19. Skylar Bell, slot to the left. Mordecai back to throw. Puck is getting tight. Rodas Johnson getting there as Mordecai runs out of time as they'll blow it down to the 33-yard line.
It was Muma, too, wasn't it? I mean, Muma was celebrating that.
Mm-hmm.
Went right through the block attempt by the tight end, Jack Pugh.
And Rodas. So back at the 33-yard line, they'll mark it. They need the 16. So the yard markers say. Two receivers to the left, two receivers to the right. Malusi is in there at running back. Mordecai takes the snap off the left hip, looking, sets, and floats it over the middle. Caught by Malusi, and he gets pounded by Muma Jungmeta at the 29-yard line.
Jungmeta's had some of the biggest collisions this spring.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel like he's going to be one of those guys that takes that big jump. I know he took a jump last year, but you become more of a leader. You know things. You see more things, and you just let you just want to get to the point where your talent is everything, and you don't even have to think.
I just think it's such a good tandem inside with Jungmeta and Jordan Turner, and then you bring in Chaney. They've got some real good talent there.
Yeah, they really do. All right, ball at the 29-yard line, third down and 13. You've got Bell, Nowakowski, and DK to the left, C.J. Williams to the right. As Mordecai gets the snap, four-man rush, Tanner throws over the middle. That's caught by Ches Malusi, and he gets greeted right away by Rodas Johnson at the 25-yard line. I'm sorry, I said Rodas Johnson. That was Muma Jungmeta, beg your pardon. Ball at the 25-yard line. It is fourth down and 9, and on comes the field goal team.
Credit Jungmeta. He could have blown up his teammate and realized that would not have been a good thing to do.
That's probably where a young player is going to blow that
player. Yes, you're right.
Too. So good timing.
Veterans presence.
So a 43-yard field goal attempt coming up for Nate Van Zelst. Out of the hold of Gavin Myers, right hash mark, snap is good, kick is away, and the kick is no good. Wide to the right.
Kind of a rough day for Van Zelst.
Not windy enough for him. He kicked in some brutal conditions last year.
Was it at Northwestern where...
Like
the worst?
Oh, yeah, it was awful. Maryland game was no treat here either. But he was good. He was, 11, 14?
He was one of the most pleasant developments through the course of a very troubling season.
Yep, had a 47-yarder in the bowl game, as long of the year. So the game clock, it was showing zero, and now I think we're going to go into some two-minute work as they put 1:10 on the clock. So I believe that's the stage here as we're getting toward the end of the festivities.
A lot of work. I think we all kind of saw scripts and kind of an understanding. The boys will be good and tired.
They will.
It's a shame they can't go and celebrate at Butchie's Bologna Bash tonight, but I'm sure a good, long, hard spring will be celebrated with a finish today at the launch.
What about a Tauscher Bologna Bash? We'll just come on over. What time should we be
full
there?
Of Bologna Bash.
They still got two more practices, so this is kind of unique.
Yep.
This next week is still another work week for them.
Yeah, I think they'll be doing a lot of special team stuff in the coming days as the spring drills wind down. That was the plan. Not
maybe
because of a missed field.
So what time did you want us there?
Throw them the Veterans Day off.
I talked over. What time did you want us there?
To the Full of Bologna Bash?
Yeah.
Whenever you guys want. I learned from you, so it'll be an honorarium.
Braden Locke in at quarterback now as he'll take the knee-high snap, looks to throw as he'll fire it to the left, and that is caught but incomplete. Quincy Burroughs out of bounds. Jace Arnold with the coverage from his corner spot.
Still a gorgeous throw, wasn't it?
And Braden Locke is not happy. He liked it. That is, you really, it's just that ball comes off his hand. It just looks
and
different.
It's so effortless, too, isn't it?
It is. He's made a very good showing for himself.
What an impression.
Very good day. He has Cade Iacomelli, the running back, to his right. Slot left, slot right, snap to Lock, four-man rush. Braden steps up. He'll check down to Iacomelli, catching at the 35-yard line, across the 40-yard line, and gets tapped out of bounds shy of the 45-yard line by Preston Zachman. They'll mark at the 44 on a gain of four.
And the thing about Lock, too, Tausch, and you made the point early on where he maybe threw a ball a little bit too hard, given the distance between himself and the receiver. This is a learning process mm-hmm. with him. But it seems like, again, we go back to that cliche, he's got all the throws.
He definitely could. You've seen him throw from the far hash to the far field. You've seen him do everything. And it's just learning the touch and all of the other stuff that you're looking for.
55 seconds left and a throw. Quick shot left side, incomplete, intended for Vinny Anthony. Zachman on the coverage, now down to 52 seconds. And it's fourth down, Cardinal at its own 44, needing six.
Preston Zachman is another one of those safeties. If he could just stay in one piece and healthy, yep. he might be able to help this team.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've been saying that about a lot of guys, but it's true. I mean, these are guys who can absolutely help both sides of the ball. Guys like Clay Cundiff, the tight end, and we mentioned Blaylock and Zachman, another one. So for the 44-yard line, fourth down and six, three receivers left, one on the right. With 52 seconds remaining, back to throw. Lock, three-man rush, throwing over the middle, incomplete. Almost just picked off the turf by Jack Eschenbach, but it is incomplete. Now with 47 seconds remaining, and we'll see how Fickell wants to play this now, as he will have the second group step aside.
It's an example of where he altered his release a little bit just to get the pass off and put it in the only spot where his receiver could get his hands on it, even though it was a bit low.
Yep.
So another chance for the first team and Tanner Mordecai and company. Another chance for first team D. Three Ricardo Hallman interceptions today.
In a one conclusion I can draw about Luke Fickell, he's got a little Bielema in it. He's going to practice until they chase him off the field.
Yeah, he will.
Right?
He will go along, yeah.
I'm going to keep practicing.
Notice that well, here lately.
This is our field we're playing.
Yeah,
so
coaches
lights have to come on.
Coaches want to finish with positive vibes, mm-hmm. too. And you don't want to – I know the defense probably looks at it, but as we see with the way rules change and everything else, the offense – you want your offense feeling good about itself. Usually coaches don't like ending with a missed field goal or ending with a possession that comes up short on points.
So, again, a minute 10 showing on the clock. First team offense will be starting at its 40-yard line. It's Riley Malman, the right tackle. Michael Furtney, the right guard. Tanner Bordellini is the center. Joe Huber, the left guard. Jack Nelson is the left tackle.
I'm glad to see Furtney back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he entered the transfer portal, but was in there for about less than a week after talking with Luke Fickell. Decided this was the best place for him.
One of the 60-year seniors. Mordecai, quick pass. Riley Nowakowski across the 40-yard line. Travion Blaylock with the stop at the 43-yard line. Clock running, 1:05 remaining. It is a gain of three, second down and seven, down to 1 minute. As Mordecai gets him lined up, 55 seconds to play. Two receivers left, two receivers right. Snap to Mordecai, looking. Tanner shuffles left, throws left to the boundary, and a rolling catch made by DK. They'll give it to him at the 47-yard line. So a gain of about four there. It's third down and three with 46 seconds to play. Third down and three, Cardinal team at its own 47-yard line. Skyler Bell, slot left. Riley Nowakowski, slot to the right. Snap to Mordecai. Tanner looking. Looking right, looking left, rolling left. He'll pull it down, racing for the boundary, and he gets there. Muma Jungmeta forcing him to the chalk. They'll mark at the 49-yard line. Needed three, got four, and a first down with 39 seconds remaining. Ball at the 49 of the white team, first and 10.
Again, you love seeing that, where it's a broken down play and you pick up a first down with your feet from the quarterback. That's something Badger fans have been clamoring for.
Three receivers right, one on the left. Allen the running back, Mordecai the snap. One pump, pressured, stays alive, rolling right, throwing right. That's caught by Nowakowski inside the 45-yard line. Hallman with the stop, inbounds, clock running, 28 seconds left. Ball at the 44-yard line, gain of five, second and five. Down to 23 seconds to play. Mordecai gets them lined up. They're stacked. Two on the right, two on the left. Mordecai shoots it right seam. Caught by Nowakowski. Nice catch inside the 30. Bounces to the turf at the 29-yard line. 14 seconds. Clock does stop inside of 2 minutes, even with the rules adjustments now in college football. And now a timeout is taken.
That was a great adjustment by Riley Nowakowski on that throw.
Mm-hmm.
Great throw to it. You're seeing a lot of why everybody's excited. You're seeing the arm talent, the ball coming out. You're seeing, you know, quarterbacks that are able to do some things with their feet. I understand all the hype and why everybody was so excited about this kind of new era of quarterback. And you're also seeing some of the things that come with being the first time, you know, the first kind of look from a big perspective with some mistakes too. So I think from a coaching staff standpoint, you're probably pretty excited because coaches are masochistic by nature. They love having stuff that they can work on. And for as much good stuff as there's been today, there's been plenty that these coaches will be able to dissect and move forward with coaching tape on some of the mistakes.
Are you suggesting that sometimes they just like to be miserable?
They really do.
I got
you. If everything is going swimmingly, they're looking over the corner like, what's coming? What's going to happen next?
Yeah, never go up and say, boy, you guys are playing good.
Yeah,
don't tell me that.
Nobody epitomized that more than a basketball coach named Bo Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. Three receivers left, one on the right. Ball at the 30-yard line with 18 seconds as they get the clock set. Here's the snap to Mordecai against a four-man rush. Tanner steps up, throws to the left, and tightrope with the sideline. Skyler Bell jarred loose, incomplete. Ricardo Holman over there defensively.
Holman's coverage has been good all day. He's had a day.
13 seconds remaining.
They're down 9. That makes it tough.
Yeah.
Are there any rule changes that you can get 9 or 10?
Like a 10-point play.
I haven't figured out how they got down 9 yet. Yeah. Have you? Can you explain that to me? It's too convoluted.
I was looking over the format again. I thought, why bother? Here's a snap to Mordecai. Looks. Throws to the left. High pass. Incomplete at the 15-yard line intended for Jack Pugh. We're just looking for playmakers.
Yeah.
8 seconds to play.
Kick the field goal here onside and then try a Hail Mary. That's what you get. 9 seconds down 9. I think that's the
that's what
Analytic Joe told me.
That's right. Yeah. No, I understand. I know you're big into the analytics.
GPT, Chat IT, whatever that thing is called. That's what they would tell you if you plugged it in.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Three receivers right, one on the left. 8 seconds remaining. Ball at the white team 30-yard line. Mordecai surveys the defense. He'll take the snap. Four-man rush. Tanner throws to the right. High pass incomplete. Intended for Skyler Bell at the 20-yard line of the far side. Muma Jungmeta was over there. Penalty marker in the offensive backfield with 4 seconds to play.
We think.
Yeah, unless there's not. And Nathaniel Vakos will attempt a field goal. So if he makes it, it's worth 10 points. Is that maybe what we'll have?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's 33-24. I don't know what y'all had today. Yeah. 43-yard field goal attempt for the right hash mark. Here we go. Vakos, the transfer from Ohio University. Lines are set. Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick is in the air. And it is no good. Which means we're going to be here for another hour.
Say,
so settle in, everybody.
It looks like
we're done. They're going to call it a day as the launch has completed here this afternoon. We've had a couple of seasons. We had a pretty good little snow squall go through here. Then the sun popped out a balmy 42 degrees. And a good turnout here this afternoon at Camp Randall. We are back with what's going to be a really short postgame show coming up. We'll put a wrap on the spring coverage in just a moment. This is The Launch presented by Old Dutch. You're listening to Badger Football from Learfield.
The countdown to savings is on at Clary Building Corp. Get the best prices of the year right now at any Clary location or contact us for a free consultation on the building you have been dreaming about. Clary has a building for every stage of your life. Visit clarybuilding.com today to see all of the amazing building options we offer. Don't let the clock run out for big savings.
For over over 100 years, David Catt has served the hardworking men and women that improve the quality of life in our community. As your local Catt dealer, David Catt provides new and used heavy and compact equipment, power systems, rental, parts, and full service support to those of you getting the job done. You make essential progress possible, and Favit Cat is honored to support the work you do every day. Visit FavitCat.com or call your local Favit Cat store for more information. Favit Cat is proud to sponsor Badgerland.
A fun day covering the launch here at Camp Randall Stadium. First chance for fans to get a peek of Luke Fickell's Wisconsin Badgers. We said at the outset, fellas, you look for, like, who's going to rise up and make some plays. And Braden Locke at quarterback looked really good. Ricardo Hallman, Hunter Waller defensively. Those two guys made some plays. It's the kind of things that you look for on a day like this.
In particular, you look for maybe a player who's been in the shadows of others. The one that comes to mind today for me is Tommy McIntosh.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because we've heard so much about the transfer receivers, and rightly so, don't get me wrong, with Will Pauling, Quincy Burroughs, and C.J. Williams. And then you have D.K. and Lewis and Bell holdovers. But Tommy McIntosh, I thought, emerged today.
Mm-hmm. He did. Vinny Anthony looked really good, too.
Exactly.
And, again, that's what you're looking for from a coaching staff standpoint. You see guys practicing, you get a good idea of what they're all about. But everybody, not that the lights, so the lights are on here today. When the lights,
they just
come
turned
on,
them on before you made that statement.
Yeah, I appreciate them doing that. When the lights come on, you want to see how guys react. I thought both of those guys, there's a lot of young players that really, I thought, showed themselves well today.
So when you played in the spring game here, Tausch, was it stakes to the winners and cold cuts? Or did you guys break it down that way, or you just went to the field house?
I think we butchered it.
You just went to
We
just
butchered
took care
it,
of that.
Or there's yeah. sandwiches. Yeah, gotcha. I don't think, I'm sure their spread's probably going to be a little bit nicer, but the nice thing is you saw these guys competing, and you mentioned it, I thought, in a smart way. You want guys hitting. You want to see all that. And when you can come out of here, and I don't know if there's any major injuries, that's always the thing that you really want to make sure you get through is – let's not lose anybody.
Game situation tape is a little bit different than practice tape, too, isn't it? On this stage where there are people here and the coaches don't – in practice, the coaches can just pull guys aside right away or stop a play, blow a play dead before it even gets going.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton of good film to take a look at from here. And some of the mistakes that we talked about, and I'm sure that the offensive line room is going to look at. There's going to be some mistakes the quarterbacks looked at. But I thought all in all, this is exactly what you're looking for. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have some guys really show up, and you're going to be able to learn from it. And that's what I think Coach Fickell and his staff are going to be most excited about.
September 2nd is when the season opens here at Camp Randall against Buffalo. A week later, they make the return trip out to Washington State. And other games, obviously, of note, October 14th at home against Iowa. 2 weeks later, Ohio State will come to town for the first time since 2016. Ohio State will make a trip to Camp Randall Stadium. They'll play at Indiana. It's been a couple of years, the COVID year. They played the Hoosiers here at Camp Randall Stadium. They've got Nebraska here. Of course, the regular season concludes at Minnesota on November 25th. It's an attractive schedule, and it's one, obviously, with the, you know, with the excitement with what's going on here. It sounds like season tickets are going at a really good clip. So it's going to be fun to see how this team evolves as we move forward.
And I think it's important to just keep things in perspective. This is the 13th of 15 spring practices on top of being in front of a crowd today, but there's still a lot of moving parts to what they're trying to do. They've installed a new offense and a new defense. And they're really in the evaluation process more so than anything else. The evaluation stage is where they are. And sometimes it can be a little more painful than other times when you're learning under fire, and that's what we've seen.
Yeah, and you just need to make sure you're not making a bunch of snap judgments, because I'm sure I have not looked at Twitter, I have not delved into that. I'm sure when you see the stats and people are going to be talking, asking a lot about some of the turnovers, you know that there's a process that you're going through. It's not always going to be at the peak. You're going to go through some valleys, and it's you want to see how guys react and come back through that. That is a huge part of athletics, and that's a huge part of building something new, which is what I think we all have to look at and say, yeah, we have high expectations. Everybody's excited, but there is a big-time newness, and when you have that, there's going to be some hiccups along the way.
We're vamping a little bit because I think we may be able to hear from head coach Luke Fickell. Mike Keller is standing by. I believe they are ready to go right now.
Yeah. Matt, Luke, give me your quick impressions for what you got in front of the crowd here today.
I think competitive spirit is what I wanted to be able to see. Guys be able to handle some adversity and some mistakes and things like that. And obviously, I think we saw that today. I think, you know, obviously it's going to be easy to look at Tanner and say, okay, the ball was picked off three times or whatever it was. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't, like, get down. He kept coming back, kept firing. I think guys rallied behind him. But I think you see some back and forth. Like normal, sometimes you get into these situations, and early on, I think defensively, maybe you are just naturally a little bit ahead. And there's probably more similarities to what we do defensively. But I think all in all, the competitiveness is what I really wanted to see.
A little unusual that you go through the spring game, as it were, today, but you've got more work. I heard you talking to the players afterwards. It's not time to shut it down. There's still more work to be done.
I always kind of felt like you finish a spring game or something like that, and it's the greatest evaluation time you got, and then coaches go and they're on the road recruiting and the players are done, and you really never get to break it down, evaluate it, and correct things and coach off of it. And so we've always kind of hold ourselves to have two practices after the kind of the big scrimmage and the ability to really kind of break it down, spend a lot of time on this and in these competitive situations and some of these live situations.
Coach, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Mike Keller. Thanks to Luke Fickell. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Be fun watching just the excitement, what they want to do in the stadium, the game day atmosphere. I think it's going to get back to the party that is Camp Randall Stadium. We look forward to it. Gentlemen, appreciate it very much as always. Our thanks to our engineer, Dave McCann, and back at our studio, Sam Up the Grove, for keeping us in line as best as humanly possible here today. That wraps up our coverage of the launch presented by Old Dutch. We'll tell you this broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silver. For Mike Lucas, Mark Tauscher, Mike Keller, and our engineer Dave McCann, and our studio producer Sam Up the Grove, this is Matt LePay. We say thanks for listening. We're off to Tauscher's for the Full of Baloney Bash. It's going to be big. This is the Badger Network from Learfield.
Live from Camp Randall Stadium, you've been listening to The Launch, presented by Old Dutch. Quality lives here. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with the batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yes.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of the constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, Earl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor, saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of scattered snow showers. Tonight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 28. Northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 44. Lows dip down to about 29. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 40.
Thank you.
in hard time Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough, just enough for the city.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
Yeah, I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with the direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances. We've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols,
right,
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, they were...
Go
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So, Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
No, you know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
Oh no, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring some...
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, oh, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives. And the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscrapers and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Look here, run this front street for me right quick, okay? Run this front street for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no.
what I
okay,
do.
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on, get in that cell, nigga.
God, no.
His hair is long, his feet are hard and threading. His skin is like walking the streets of New York City. He's almost dead from breathing in air pollution. He tried to fight, but to him.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by finding and following our network's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn pages. Want even more? Go to our website, civicmedia.us. News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Attorney Fred Gordon is on the line. Fred, you want to respond to Cassandra?
And thank her for her comments. The immigration issue is a very important issue because even though as black folk we're not necessarily involved in it to the extent that others may be, we clearly understand its import. And here in North Carolina, where I live, it's a major issue because immigrants and Latin folks from other countries have come to North Carolina, and they're doing the jobs that black folk used to do. And that's something that certainly should spur, you know, some conversation. Because it certainly
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's